When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
K-Rex.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We a number one spot.
I guess we can hit air horns.
Hit air horns for us.
We can hit air horns for the holidays.
We can do that. We here. You know what I'm saying? We can hit air horns.
Tune in at 3 o'clock. We're going to play the Boyz II Men album in full.
Let it snow. Let it snow.
Our final show of 2024. And these bitches. God damn it. Welcome in.
The ultimate needle mover.
Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
We are live.
The worst slums of Sacramento
continue to be downtown on J Street.
That's facts.
The Golden One Center. There is no place worse in this city than that building right now as the Sacramento Kings. Our stupid asses thought they hit rock bottom Thursday night. No, how do you follow that up? How do you follow up a loss to the Los Angeles Lakers where their fans take over the arena for the second time in its existence? You follow it up with a second loss to the Los Angeles Lakers, and then just for good measure, you go get your ass kicked by the team you traded, had your biggest trade to date with. And Tyrese walks in here, doesn't play well, doesn't even look like a good basketball player.
Tyrese, he ended up like hitting some shots late. We had the perfect view early from like his shot. All the shots were just
ass,
awful.
Just garbage.
It's like, what is this guy
just
throwing?
Garbage. But
he ended up playing better as the game went along, but
his team left with a dub. And the Sacramento Kings, now after what was it, three straight wins, are sitting at four straight losses, every single one of them at the Golden One Center. This homestand started with people talking about going 4-1 at worst, try to be 3-2. And now this basketball team is very realistically staring at an unfathomable 0-5 homestand. Because if you don't think Detroit could come in here and kick their ass, you're mistaken.
Oh, I'm gonna tell you right now. That's where we'll start because I got a bunch of things written down that I need to get to, that we need to get to, whatever the case may be. Let's foreshadow right now. Detroit, from what I've seen so far, Detroit is gonna come in here the day after Christmas and beat the hell out of the Kings. Kay Cunningham is about to go to work on the Kings. About to go to work. Jaden Ivey. Oh, Jaden Ivey. I saw Pastor Bob over the weekend, and I'm not going to try and curse as much on the air and all this other stuff. And just,
well, I hope you pray.
And then Reese said the second graders still come up to him and say they love your dad's show. So I'm trying. But let's just say Jaden Ivey is about to bury Keegan Murray. Bury him. All the talk that we was doing out here. You know, all they picked the right guy and all this other stuff. And Jaden Ivey, what is he doing? Jaden Ivey is coming out here to bury Keegan Murray. Put him in the dirt as somebody that's supposed to be better than him. The Pistons are coming in here. Bickerstaff, man, come on, man. I'm not predicting whether they win or lose. I'm just telling you, easily could see the Pistons coming in here and working these boys. Working them.
This is, I'm looking at the chat. Dangerous place. My man Curtis says, Kings front office, I know you watching and reading, so I'm going to say, don't do D-Fox like y'all did to Marcus Cousins. Curtis, you can't be serious. You can't be. DeMar DeRozan is on this team. Domantas Sabonis is a 2-time All-NBA player just in his time in Sacramento. This front office has surrounded De'Aaron Fox with more talent than DeMarcus Cousins could ever dream of. And yet this team still sinks. Now, is this team perfect? Absolutely not. The roster has flaws. And Monty and West, they've got a job to do that they need to start doing right now. But if push comes to shove, the first one to go, it's not going to be Monty and Wes. If something happens, it's not going to be Monty and Wes. It's going to be Mike.
And let's just say, because last week we talked about, like, one of the things about inside the NBA is, you know, they real talk. Whether you agree with it, whether it's too much or whatever the case may be, one of the things that makes them great is, you know, they talk. Charles and Shaq, they talk. Kenny, they talk or whatever. And, I mean, yeah, it's last show of the season. I don't really care. Like, we gonna talk. Said it to everybody that I crossed paths with last night at the Golden One Center. And it's just the fact. Somebody's got to go. Somebody has to leave. I'm not even sure if this is going to change anything. Mm-hmm. They may still be no good or whatever. But whether it's today, whether it's after Christmas or whatever, somebody needs to leave town. Player, coach, front office executive, somebody needs to go. What happened last week at the Golden One Center? It needs to cost somebody their job. I don't even like doing that. I don't like, but it just is what it is. All of them will be fine. Nobody will be filing for EDD unemployment. You know, they'll get another job somewhere in this league. They'll be all right, paid handsomely. They'll be fine. Somebody needs to be fired or traded. That's just what it is. This is the business. It's the nature of the beast. And when you have weeks like you just had, somebody's got to go.
Okay. Well, that might happen. That might happen sooner than anyone thinks.
And I'm sorry. Roddy says, make a move before firing somebody. That's what, maybe a player's got to go. Somebody has to go. We can't keep trotting this same group of Sacramento Kings players, coaches, and front office executives out there every night. They don't like each other. They didn't quit on each other one way or another. Somebody's got to go.
DeMar took 7 shots yesterday, and that felt purposeful.
Well, I mean, that's ridiculous. He's 1 of 7. Even if you take 7 shots, make your damn shots. He was 1 of 7. But all I heard was DeRozan is messing up the offense. He get demanding his shots. All this other stuff. Hey, man, I'll tell you right now, give him the ball. You didn't bring him here to fit in with everybody else. Everybody else that was here, that didn't work You didn't make the playoffs last year. Monk was gone, and everybody fell apart. Couldn't nobody make a shot. They were shooting 77 threes a night because nobody could get their own shot or get to the line. So I'm sorry. You bring DeMar DeRozan in here. Let him get his shots. Let him shoot. If that was the case, don't trade for him. Don't trade Harrison Barnes if you just want somebody to fit in. Give him the ball and let him shoot. That's what he does.
So here's the issue with trying to evaluate what's going on with this basketball team is it's not something. It's some things. There are multiple things wrong. So you just stated the flaws in the DeMar DeRozan situation. Keegan Murray has regressed in a way that almost doesn't seem possible. He looks like a shell of the offensive player he once was. And Kevin Huerter is the exact same way. Kevin Huerter was an elite role player 2 years ago. An integral role player 2 years ago. Now he's at best a guy. He's just a guy you throw in there because you're hoping he hits a couple of shots and you need to spell somebody a couple of minutes. I'm having a real difficult time forming an opinion on De'Aaron Fox. You're talking about guys that can go, and you want to point to all of these guys who you want to point to DeMar. Work the offense and win him better. Point to Keegan in his regressions. I keep looking at De'Aaron like, where's the lead? This is one thing that I'm really struggling to get over with, or get over. Why does Memphis look the way that they do? The roster is exactly the same. Why do they look so different? One guy. Now, I know they were beat up by injuries last year, and they had guys kind of like coming and going in and out of the lineup until the very end when they just stopped putting guys out there. Mark has been in and out of the lineup this year. That's everyone's dog. That's everyone's leader, right? What's the difference with this Grizzlies team? It's one guy. He has brought this team. They got like single-digit losses right now. They have 9 losses. The Kings got 5 in the last 5 games or 4 in the last 4 games. Ja Morant makes a difference in every way for that Memphis Grizzlies team. De'Aaron, I believe I have gathered enough information to believe that De'Aaron can't do that. Can De'Aaron elevate his numbers? Yeah, we saw that. Can he lead his team to not a win, not fourth quarter Fox? Can he lead his team when they're struggling through a tough stretch? Not a tough stretch opponents-wise, a tough stretch internally. Can he lead his team through that? No. What I feel like he does is the exact opposite. He curls up in a little ball and he gets frustrated. And he doesn't like the media and all of this stuff, different stuff happens. Oh, I don't really care. Y'all want me to yell and be demonstrative. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go home and be with my family. Dog, good for you. Maybe the Kings, before this thing with Rich Paul and San Antonio and Los Angeles and Miami gets out of hand, maybe Monty needs to field a few phone calls. Maybe Monty needs to start checking around the league saying, hey, what's this look like for you? Call Houston. What's this look like for you? He doesn't have a no-trade clause. He can't dictate where he goes. Like, hey, we got a hell of a deal from Houston. We're going to pull the trigger on this. I'm saying at the current state that they're at, because now Monty's on the clock, and he's not on the clock for years from now. He's on the clock till the end of this season. So if you're thinking the move is to fire Mike Brown and move on, then so be it. But you're on the clock, and if you think firing Mike, if they think that firing Mike Brown is the move that's going to fix this team, they're far dumber than we realize, and this organization's cooked. If you want to move on from Mike, that's fine. You better do something, whether it's Jay or it's Doug or whoever you're going to put in that position, should you choose to make this move, you better give them a better roster than you got right now. You've got guys, man, I can't get over it. Jesse, we'll just keep going. I can't get over your line about the 49ers and how suddenly this is true for the Sacramento Kings basketball team. These dudes are out there worried about other things than winning. I think that includes De'Aaron Fox. It absolutely includes Kevin Huerter. It might include a couple of other guys on that bench. I don't think it includes anyone else in the starting lineup, but I don't really know. I don't know where DeMar's mindset is now. But this team is not focused on winning, and you're 100% right. They quit. That was embarrassing. What happened yesterday at the Golden 1 Center was an embarrassment. They quit. I left you, parted ways with you, walked right up those stairs. Every Kings fan, because I wasn't the only one leaving, stopped by the team's store to buy one of those sorry-ass jerseys for a Christmas present. Past 10 people, just looked right up, shaking their head. Just disgusted. Just looking like, I can't believe we lost again. 16,000 people left the arena disgusted yesterday. And here's a note for Sacramento Kings. Next time against Detroit, it's going to be 15,000. Then the game after that, it's going to be 14. And you're just going to have a group. I'm going to try to sell these tickets. I don't want to. It is so miserable there when they lose. Then you start losing a couple in a row. Whatever it is, front office, coach, player, you better do something that gets your fan base back. Because I watched them exit that arena last night disgusted with you.
Oh, man.
Absolutely disgusted.
When you go to a certain place, you better be confident in what you're saying. And when we talk about they quit last night, I'm confident in that.
100%.
I'm confident.
It's clear as day.
I don't know what they quit on or who they quit on, but they quit. They quit on themselves, or they quit on each other, or they quit on the coach, or they quit on the front office, or they quit on the damn city. I don't know. But they weren't inspired. They weren't motivated. They just flat out quit. And here's all these people smell blood. The Lakers, they knew what time it was. The Pacers, they knew what time it was. They can smell when somebody's quit. They can smell when somebody's soft, when they're not tough enough. Let me get down to the list here. Talk about Detroit going to smack them up. Let's go to the next one. I'm at the game on Saturday. I'm at the game on Saturday against the Lakers. And LeBron James, I know he's LeBron James. But he treated the Kings like they were absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it's not just what he was doing on the court because he was killing. He's LeBron James. We expect that. Every dunk, the little shoulder, flexing, nodding the head, yelling at the crowd. Another little coast-to-coast layup. I'm here. What? They ain't going to stop me. So he goes coast to coast one time. Another little flex. Oh, they ain't going to stop me yelling at the crowd. Then proceeds to curse out Isaac Jones. Timeout called. Isaac Jones walking back to his bench. And LeBron James, bleepity bleep, 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 bleep. This is bleep, bleep, bleep.
Legends ain't got that one. They got the one where he cussed at the fans.
Oh, Lynch got, yeah.
Drink a beer and shut up.
He did whatever he wanted to. And I'm sitting there. I think I even tweeted it out. I'm sitting there watching him do this for the better part of the first half. And I say, yo, somebody need to check LeBron James. I know that's LeBron. I know that's the GOAT. You know what I mean? I understand that. And he's a Mack truck. So, you ain't going to put LeBron on his ass. Like, you try to foul him hard, he'll bounce right off. I understand. But somebody got to do something. Somebody got to do something. Because he's sitting here acting like you guys are garbage. No fear whatsoever. I'm going to do whatever I want. No fear. Guys are trash. That's the way he's looking at you. And guess what? Guess what, Damian? Nobody did a damn thing. Nobody did nothing. Didn't nobody talk to him. Nobody get in his face. Hell, to be honest with you, there was a time, and I'm not saying you got to, like, fight him or nothing like that, but there was a time Mike Brown, And LeBron James before the fourth quarter, hey, how you doing? Man, get out of my face. Get out of my face. This ain't the time for that, LeBron. Number one, like if we were already just in a game, like I'd be hesitant to do it. But you done cursed out my players left and right for the better part of three quarters. And now you want to, put your armor. Nah, not now, man. Not now. That's not what we're doing. Or at the very least, if you want to talk, we're going to talk about that right now. But that, it's the fraternity, and nobody does that, man. All right, man. All right, whatever. Everybody laughing at y'all, man. Everybody look at y'all like a joke right now. Ain't nobody got no respect for the Kings.
You know why LeBron could do that? I'm putting this together as you laid all that out, going back to the thing we started with. Who knows Mike Brown better than him? He knows they ain't going to do anything about it.
Mm.
I guarantee you LeBron James said last year, probably the year before, last night or two nights ago, whatever it was. Hey, let's execute this. If we catch them on their heel, they won't do. Mike won't make an adjustment.
Mm.
There's nothing Mike could do. He won't be able to. He'll use the line he used last night. I'm going to keep searching. Mm. I don't know what you're looking for, Mike. What are you looking for? You talking about keep searching. You got to you did that the year before. You found Keon Ellis. Now Keon Ellis can't play.
Mm.
Now you got Doug McDermott out there, and you're talking about sizes and matchups and all of these different things. And it's like, man, we're really here. You're going to get fired. And in my head, it's ridiculous. You're going to fire Mike Brown. This is ridiculous. But at the same time, I don't know. Like, I'm watching. They're not either. Either they collectively are not responding to you, or someone important in that starting lineup or on this team is not responding to you, and that's creating a domino effect. That's a problem. And it might not have anything to do with De'Aaron Fox.
And you're 100% correct. 100% correct. And I go back to this because it's LeBron that bleeds over to the Pacers dancing and jumping around on the sideline yesterday. No, but they do all this because they know the Kings ain't going to do nothing. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do nothing. They sitting around talking about, who going to check me, boo? Who going to do something to me? Not nam one of y'all. Y'all ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to jump up and down. I'm going to skip around the court. I'm going to dunk on you, yell at your fans, yell at your bench, and you ain't going to do a damn thing. You ain't going to do nothing. Fox, you ain't going to do nothing. Sabonis, you ain't going to do nothing. Keegan, you damn sure ain't going to do nothing. Monk, DeRozan, none of y'all going to do nothing. I'm going to skip around this place like it's mine because ain't nobody going to do nothing to me. Ain't nobody going to check me. Not once. Not once. And that's why they get their ass beat at home all the time, because that's why people come in here and that's how they feel. Ain't nobody going to stop me. Ain't nobody going to stop me from doing nothing. That's how the league looks at you. And they cool with that. I said it half jokingly a couple of times the other night because they're struggling and all this other, half jokingly. But the more I talked to people, and people were telling me this around the arena, y'all, they need to get in a fight. Our tribal chief, I didn't even talk to him about this. What's one of the first things he said when we were sitting down watching the game with him?
They're too nice.
They're too nice, and they need to get in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Man, people around the league look at the Kings soft as Charmin. Soft as Charmin. I'm going to come in here. Kay Cunningham, Jaden Ivey is going to come in here on Thursday, think I can do whatever I want. Who going to stop me? Keegan Murray? Keegan Murray going to do something to me? I'm going to go to the lane. And you know what happens when I go to the lane? I'm going to jump up, go to the lane, and I'm going to land on my feet because ain't nobody going to stop me. Ain't nobody going to touch me. Zero fear of what the Kings doing, because the Kings are soft. The Kings are soft as hell. Ain't nobody going to do nothing.
They certainly didn't do anything yesterday or the night before or the night before that. It's a damn shame because in the midst of all this, Domas had 19-19 against the Lakers, and he had like 17-21 or something like that against the Pacers. And it's all amounting to those old James Harden numbers. Just a Snickers bar.
Mm.
Empty calories, doesn't impact winning, doesn't matter one bit. And that's where we are. You want to trade DeRozan? Fine. Whatever. Do what y'all want to do. You want to trade De'Aaron Fox before it's too late? Y'all go ahead. Them reports aren't nothing. Mm-hmm. What Sam Amick wrote, It's not nothing. Now, I don't know that Rich, in fact, we were told, Rich, Clutch, they're not pushing for a trade. They haven't asked for a trade. They didn't demand a trade. Nothing like that. They're having conversations with the front office for sure, but they haven't asked for a trade. They haven't put the Kings on notice. Mm-hmm. However, Rich's presence in Sacramento puts the Kings on notice. A meeting with the front office puts the Kings on notice. And now you're getting, well, San Antonio's watching this pretty closely. Yeah, I'm sure San Antonio would love to pair De'Aaron Fox with Wimby. Then you're hearing, De'Aaron in a Lakers jersey. Miami, Bam Adebayo there. You got a connection. It's going to get louder. The worse this team gets, the louder the noise will be. And they're pretty bad right now. So this noise is, it's loud. It could get a lot louder. It's going to get a lot louder before February. Mm-hmm. And if the Kings do something like fire Mike Brown, it's going to be written in flames.
And to that point, let's go to Mike Brown right now. Check this off. Where's the leadership? Where's the leadership? I get it. You can't make guys do anything. But Mike Brown looks as scatterbrained as anybody else. I don't know. We need some. We got Jay Crowder in here, and he's starting. He's starting. He just got off the damn plane. He's starting.
Mm-hmm.
We won't play him for another 10 games. What? You know, we can't stop anybody on the perimeter. Let's get Doug McDermott out here. Keon, you're in garbage time. Just scatterbrain all over the place. I understand searching, but this is not leading anybody. He's not leading anybody. I like Mike Brown. I respect Mike Brown and what he's accomplished in this league, but I know he's been in the league for X amount of years and won with San Antonio.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And in the Golden State, he wasn't a leader there. He wasn't a leader. He don't get credit for being a leader of men when he wasn't the leader. Now he's in positions where he's the leader and it's falling apart. It's falling apart. This team needs leadership. Leadership.
I got on the screen that climbing together mantra. I'm selflessly connected to the team because we are stronger together. Matt George posted this picture. All of the players, everyone in the organization signed it. I'm fully committed to being present while accountable to doing what's best for the team. I embrace adversity in a positive way to earn the trust of the team. Every play and every day, I believe in us, all in. Matt says this is hung, I think, in the practice facility and right outside the door of the locker room. You could throw that in the garbage. You could take that off the wall and throw it in the garbage. Those are the signatures that matter in this league are the contracts with dollar figures attached to them. This was symbolic because it worked 2 years ago. You could throw it away now, Mike. You want to send a point. Take this off the wall and throw it in the garbage in front of your whole team. Hell, if De'Aaron wants to make a point, take that stupid-ass thing off the wall and throw it in the garbage. Because everything I just read, you ain't selflessly connected to the team because we were stronger together. Even Malik was like, yeah, we're not playing together. Malik said that. Yo, throw that garbage away.
Throw orange.
All of this. Well, all right, Doc, there's no... You need to throw oranges at it.
Throw oranges at that thing.
Well, as long as you do it in your practice jersey, it's fine. We'll come back. Phone lines are open for you. Is that Stanley I see? I think Stanley on hold.
Oh, Stanley
here, Manny here. Oh, he feels good today.
Stanley
feel good today. Stanley feel good today. Oh, it'll be great to hear from Stanley. We'll open up the Elk Grove Kid Talk Line next. Get in here, weigh in, 916-909-1320. It's D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. I'm talking about rim protection. My God. This is silly. Now we're fighting each other.
I don't even know where to begin with some of the things that we're talking about and all this other stuff. Like, I really don't know where to begin. And the one thing that I really am tired of.
Oh man, I'm shutting the chat off. I can't deal with these. See, what I do love is like Kings fans who hate the Kings like to poke. They're not here to rest it. Guys like Curtis to talk about. Oh, Giannis blocked the shot and won a championship with it. Okay, he blocked a shot, and that's what we need. We need a guy in Sacramento who could block a singular shot one time in his career. That's how bad things are in Sacramento right now. Just get me a guy who can block a single shot one time in his career, and this fan base will be happy because they've been told they need what was our Lord and Savior's name again?
Mason Plumlee.
Mason Plumlee. That's what we need. Mason goddamn Plumlee.
I don't understand some of the rhetoric. And, you know, people talk about the rim protection. I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, I'm telling you right now, you talk about rim protecting. I'm saying the perimeter defense needs to be better. And maybe that's just me as a guard. Maybe me as a point guard and the way that I was taught the game, how I learned the game, and how I approach the game. But my job isn't on – my job to be a good defender as a perimeter guy isn't based on – the guy that I can funnel the defense to. Now it's the NBA. Now all these guys can score. They can do different stuff. So it's not as easy as high school basketball when you got a guy on the perimeter that can stop. But it'll help a lot. If you play good perimeter defense, it'll help a lot. So there's that. And then, like I said, I'll die on the hill. I'm just – this whole notion that DeMar DeRozan is the problem or he doesn't fit is asinine to me. It's asinine. And I looked up some of the numbers. In November, DeMar DeRozan for November and October, we'll just do that. He was averaging 22.5 points per game, 17.6 shots a night. Where everything really went left was he got hurt on November 13th against Phoenix with a bad back. Had 2 points in that game. Kings won. At that point, they were 7-5 at that point. Since then, you got, you know, three games with the Clippers, Brooklyn, OKC to finish out November. Then in December, he's 18 points a game, 14.5 points or shots a night. You dwindle that down just a little bit. In November, November 12th, when they beat the Pelicans, he had games of 29, 18, 23, 26, 16. They were 4-2. He had shot attempts of 18, 14, 15, 15, 15, 20. In the four games since, shot attempts, 18, 13, 10, 7. Give him the ball. That's why he's here. It makes you better. I was here last year. You were here last year. We were all here last year when Malik Monk got hurt and nobody could dribble for two dribbles and get open. They would shoot 65 threes a game because they had one guy that could create and everybody would camp out around the three-point line and that was their only way they could do anything. And they lost over and over and over again to fall into the play-in. We were all here for that. And what do we keep saying? They need it. Without Malik there, they don't have somebody that can create, and they don't have an ability to get easy shots at the basket and get to the free throw line. You got a guy here that is able to do that. You were giving him the ball, and he was producing. And then this whole notion, we talk about he needs his shots. Maybe everybody else needed their shots, and that's why they stopped. Because when you're feeding him and you're getting him the ball and you're allowing him to do what he does, you're a better team. Period. You're a better team when he's doing what he does. Give him the ball. Stop with all this nonsense. Give him the damn ball.
So the thing we have to decipher is this Mike Brown? Or is this Mike Brown placating De'Aaron Fox? Or is it Mike Brown placating DeMontis Sabonis? Is it Mike Brown acting on behalf of a different player? Or is it Mike Brown acting upon himself? Or is it doesn't have anything to do with Mike Brown and they're just not running the offense with DeMar? Like, that's what has to be gotten to the bottom of. Because if you're going to make a decision to move on from somebody, you better know the answer to some of these questions.
Jacob P., KC is terribly wrong. Tell me where I'm wrong. You get in here or call 916-909-1320 on the Elk Grove Kia talk line and tell me to refute the numbers that I just told you. Tell me if I'm wrong, Damian. When they give him the ball, they've been winning more than when they haven't. Is that what it sounds like to me? Am I the only one who sees that, or is that
you just read the numbers out. It's pretty clear.
When they give him the ball, I don't care how many passes or what it looks like, all this other stuff. When they give him the ball and let him operate, he produces, they win. When they haven't, they've looked awful. They haven't even scored over 100 points in I don't know how long. They stopped giving him the ball. All of a sudden, they can't score 100 points. People were telling me the other day, that ain't the problem. They're scoring just fine. Now they can't even score 100 points. So I'm tired of hearing all that. Oh, DeMar's the problem. He shouldn't be a fit. He's not a fit and all this. Man, stop. Because y'all just, once again, regurgitating stuff. I sat here, and it didn't even take long. I sat here and looked 5 minutes at these numbers and what the differences is. If they were losing four games in a row and getting blown out with him shooting 25 times a game, I'd say, yeah, it's not really a fit. Clearly. They give him the ball. He gets his numbers. They're successful.
Elk Grove Kia Talk Line 916-909-1320. Let's talk with our man Stanley. Stanley, what's going on, baby?
Man, I'm here to cuss you and Kenny out.
Oh, wait a minute. What'd I do?
You people have went and sold a bill of goods, okay? You people sold a bill of goods. Oh, DeMar is coming over. He knows how to finish games. He does this. Okay. Well, somebody don't know how to finish games.
And maybe it's not him, Stanley.
I didn't say it was him on single. I'm not saying it's him by himself. You're right. He's got the numbers. But like you say, sometimes numbers don't tell the whole story. Statistics don't tell everything. Okay. And then... which reminds me, before I get on the Kings, a little side note here. Now, look at your 49ers. Look at them. They're in dead last place. They got people quitting. I heard you talk about people quitting. Yeah, look at the 49ers. Devondre. The whole darn team is quit. Okay? And now, getting back to the Kings. Getting back to these pathetic creatures. For once, I actually agree with Kenny Caraway. LeBron coming in there like he coming in there like a bull in a china shop. And what did the Kings do? Oh, let me get out of the way. Let me get out of the way. Yeah.
No.
He had been misfiring and everybody saying, what's wrong? Well, in the second half, he sure found out but he found out the cure. All he needed to do was come in here and smoke the Kings like a cheap cigar.
Hey, Stanley, you won't find those at the humidor over at Sky River Casino. Hey, Stanley, how about them Cowboys?
Yo, chill. What's gotten into you today? What's gotten into you today?
I just wanted to hear my man's
talk. About the Cowboys? I'm sorry, who got eliminated from the playoffs last night?
The 49ers.
Who else?
Yeah, we eliminated, but like I said, then don't even talk about you all. But you know what? Here's the one thing. I mean, when you eliminate it, you're eliminated. But I can trace our downfall to one play, that bonehead play against the Cincinnati Bengals. After we blocked the kick, this fool tried to pick the ball up and run with it and then fumble it.
That was funny.
We'd still be in the race.
You'd be out next week. What are you talking about? You guys were like 3-9 at the time. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but technically he's right.
Come on, man.
I love that the whole season boiled down to that play. Oh,
shout
God bless
Stanley.
Stanley.
Hey, Stanley, have a Merry Christmas.
Zaybo, that was a terrible loss by our Bucks last night. Come on, man. Let's get Manny in here, 916-909-1320. What's up, Manny?
Hey, what up? Two things. One, how do you have that much time off? Like, everybody always complains about the grind of the season, not enough time to practice. How do you not use that time off that they had, that low, to galvanize this team and get them on the same page? Like, that time should have been used. It's not going to fix all the problems, but, like, that time should have been used.
Hey, Manny, real quick. I'm going to let him finish, but I want to hit that point real quick. Oh, no, they needed time off. Another part of the soft nature of this roster. Oh, we needed this time off bad. The season just started 3 weeks ago. What,
like,
are you talking
13
about?
13 games into the season.
Oh, we needed the rest. Oh, man. All right, man. All right. I ain't hear that from Boston, OKC. None of the winners. I ain't hear none of that from them. Cleveland, none of them. Sorry, Manny. Go ahead.
No, you're right. But you know, even on top, like you said, that's that one part of it. And the other is, again, like, yeah, normally you don't get that kind of time off, so use it wisely. Obviously, it wasn't. But the second part of it is with this whole, look, there's blame to go all around everywhere. But I'm going to get back. As much as I put my number one blame was Monty at once, I shifted that. To me, I put the players back at number one on it, because what in the hell is Monty going to do? What player is he going to bring in to a team that can't even play up to what their current potential is? Never mind whether they're a championship contender or any of that. This team, as constructed, should be at least at the minimum a 500 team. And if you can't even play up to that, if you can't even play up to what you currently have with all its flaws, what player is he going to bring in here to take a five-game below 500 team to catapult it to something that you were expecting? Like, there is no sixth man coming in, walking through these doors to help take this team to another level. Why would Monty even be motivated? I understand the Fox part of it and all that, but in, like, if you take a step back, what would motivate Monty to go pick up, to give up assets?
Hold on, Manny. If Monty's looking at the structure of this team going, there's nothing I could do, he can quit. That's literally what every general manager in the entire league and every professional sport does. What are we talking about right now? What is the conversation we're having? You're telling me Monty McNair's looking at this roster going, there's nothing I can do. If that is the case, I'm begging you to quit.
What are you here?
Do you hear how stupid things have been the first 45 minutes of this show? We're talking about rim protection and throwing our hands up when it comes to the roster. Losing has made us idiots. What are we doing right now? Mitchell, I'm begging you, please say something intelligent.
All right, a lot of pressure here. Can you hear me?
We got you, Mitchell. Go ahead.
Sorry, y'all. Hey, I just had one question. I was thinking about that interview with Kev in the locker room after, and he's like, you know, the Pacers, they play with pace, and that was us. We used to do that, or, like, we're trying to revert back to that. And then, you know, just reading through the lines, listening to that, and then listening to Fox say, we got to learn to play with joy again and enjoy playing together. It just sounds like players who are being forced into a mold that's not them. You know? So, like, I don't know. I was just curious what you guys thought about that. Like, people are saying, hey, this isn't what we used to be. Like, and they're thinking about that season 2 years ago. And, it, you know, from my eyes, it doesn't seem like, other than the DeMar trade, like, what, you know, core stuff has changed between 2 years, other than, like, you know, maybe how they're being coached to play. I don't know.
No, it's a man, pace and speed are two different things, right? And the pace of play requires everybody to go at a certain rate. And I think what happens sometimes is you'll see them try to start out with a certain pace, but then the guy who gets the ball to bring it up isn't moving as fast. So everyone feels like, well, why am I moving fast? And that slows down the pace of the game. And man, that was Mitchell. That's one we hear so much about.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wanted to get Daniel in here.
Yeah.
916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Daniel, what's happening, man?
Hey, guys. Hey, man. Man, I've been a fan. Dude, 39 years. I want this team to be proactive just one time. Dude, the writing's on the wall. Fox has got to go. why can't we get the most for him now? Why do we have to wait till he demands a trade? Because once he demands a trade in public on, you know, once he puts it out there, won't his stock go down? Why can't we do it before that happens?
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I guess maybe that's true. I don't know that it is. I'm not for trading players like secretly unless you have a deal that you cannot pass up. Mm-hmm. If Monty and Wes are presented with a trade offer that they look at and they go like this gets us, this balances out our roster. This helps alleviate. We're gonna put Monk as the primary ball handler. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do that. This does everything we needed to do. Then you execute it. Mm-hmm. The word getting out about, like, nothing stays a secret in the league, whether Shams reports it or Sam reports it, Irk reports it. Like, in league circles, nothing's a secret.
Right.
So his value at this point, is that Daniel? It's probably the same. Like, it's not going to change, because if there are conversations about trading De'Aaron Fox, league office is already aware of them. League offices,
right,
I should say.
Right. The league.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Like,
right.
They all know what time it is.
Right.
We talked about last season, because that was Mitchell who talked about, you know, them basically losing their identity. And I feel like Mike Brown has, for the better part of the last season and some change, tried to turn this team into something they're not. And I'm not even saying like his thought process is wrong, because defense is important if you're trying to be a championship team. You have to defend at a certain level if you are going to be a championship team. But we said how many times at the beginning of last year and during last year, yo, why aren't you just doing what you are? Why are you trying to turn into the 04 Pistons? Or are you trying to turn this team? They don't do that. They shoot, they score. They get up and down the floor. That's what they do. Will it win them a championship? Probably not. But it'll win them a lot of games. And, hey, I don't want to say this is the reason for everything. But everything changed and everything got murky. Do you know when it was? I think you know. Everything got murky in one moment, starting last season.
What was it?
When he brought in Duarte and said, we may need to start him at the two.
Yeah. That was in training camp.
Yes. Things got murky. Because now you're worried about something other than what got you here, which was your offense.
Mm-hmm.
And you're affecting one of the guys that helped you get that offense in Kevin Huerter. Kevin Huerter was at his locker saying, I don't know what's going on. Because Mike can say the whole time, it wasn't really going to happen. I was just experimenting. Kevin Huerter was at his locker telling, I don't know. I'm just doing the best I can to do what I can. That's when everything changed with this team. And they had some up and downs and things, do whatever. But people talk about getting back to Beam Team One days. One of the guys was trying to eliminate the Beam Team and say, nah, this ain't good enough. We need to do something different. Not we need to be better. We need to do something different. There's a difference to me. And they hadn't been able to get back.
But in his mind, he was saying we needed to do something different, or we needed to do something better. Because remember what Mike's thing was last year.
So how I took it, it's about how you take things, right? You can do something better defensively and still strive to be who you are offensively. It came off as if, yeah, the offense is cool, but if we take a step back on that and we improve on defense, that's the team we
need. I think he actually said that.
Yeah.
I think he did. Like, I'm dead serious. I think he said that. He's like, no, not too far back, but
right.
A little bit. But we Take a step up.
At that point, you're trying to change who you are. Not be better with what you are. You're trying to be different. And
failed miserably. And you probably ruined Kevin Huerter in the process, who appears to be the softest player on the team.
That's a battle.
He's had one good game as a bench player.
Yeah, it's really Utah, really good game.
And then he's had a couple like that are okay.
And look, this bench is something else. And Rob in the chat, he says Huerter was already in ruins. That's when you bring him in and you uplift him. You don't bring more doubt into his mind. Unless you're going to go all the way. Like, you don't yo-yo it, right? That's what he kind of did. He was like, ah, well, you know, might kind of start, you know, might have to look at some things or whatever. If you don't think he's it, then just get him out.
What's the other one? Well, here's Jakey Lee. We should have Dalton to connect. And then he asked a really important question. Why did we draft the dude who can't play? That is a fantastic question.
Well, let's get to the Monty part of this list.
This team lacks depth. They lack rotational players who can help. And they basically punted their draft pick until, I guess if you listen to them, January. Allegedly, Devin Carter may be available to play in the next handful of weeks. You've probably pissed your season away here at this point, but cool. Like, a guy coming back from a shoulder surgery is going to go ingrained, get himself ingrained in a team that Mike can't figure out who he's going to play and who he's not going to play on a night-to-night basis. Mike adjusts everything based on matchups, which is why Doug McDermott, who wasn't in the league 4 months ago, is getting heavy minutes, and Keon Ellis, who was seemingly an integral part of this team last year, can't play. And, oh, we got another player at their position.
Like two, three other players at their position that play like 35 minutes. But no, let's go ahead and draft him.
Let's get the rookie in.
No, let's just draft him. This is great. Not to mention, people were talking about, and look, I know he hasn't had the greatest season. I don't really care. Like, I'd rather him not have the greatest season here. You know what I mean? Apparently, this Kyle Kuzma deal was there. Something happened. Somebody got cold feet. Somebody wanted more than what was originally off. I don't know. But that was there for the taking. And you passed on that to draft Devin Carter.
Yep.
It's crazy. That is crazy. That might have doomed this season. How you make that pick, I don't understand. I don't understand.
Oh, neither. Let's get Maddie here real quick. 916-909-1320. Maddie, what's happening, man?
Hey, what's going on, my guys? How we doing today?
Good, man.
All right, man. So I just wanted to pose a question to y'all. And I apologize if you guys already answered this, but just wondering, is there a specific record or just like a general deal of how the team is performing where you would blow it up this season? You know, we've all talked about De'Aaron potentially leaving and what that would mean. But, you know, if you move Fox, unless you get something of like equal return, as a talent, you're probably just getting picks, right? And I think that would mean, like, the dominoes would start to fall and DeMontis and DeMar would probably be moved eventually. And I guess that would mean Keegan, you're building around him, right? So I guess my question is, could it get bad enough at any point before the deadline this season where you would blow it up?
I swear to God, if this team's building around Keegan, I'm going to go do something else with my life. I'm going to cover the A's. Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll cover the Sacramento, Oakland, Las Vegas A's. Building around Keegan?
Come on, man.
Murray? I mean, I understand the point Maddie was asking, and the truth is we might be getting really close to it. He said, at what point does this thing blow up? What record? We're getting pretty close to it.
Pretty close.
Because it's not It's not. You're now looking at a second. You're looking at a second consecutive year of regression, and you have to look at this team and this roster and go, okay, it feels like this team is talented enough to turn it around. I don't know if talent is its leading issue, is this team's leading issue. Now, you can get into players 7, 8, 9, 10 and discuss the talent there and how that is hindering this team. That's fine. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of evidence to support me and anyone else who makes that argument. But when you look at the top six or so, it's like, yeah, this team's 5 games under .500. That's not – or 4 games. That doesn't match up. Mm-hmm. The talent on this roster and their record – does not match
up. Who's the 5 and 6 in that top six?
Do we need to answer that when we come back?
We got 3 hours.
Well, I think he meant come back from commercial.
Yeah, no, we can come back. Yeah, we got
to
take a break.
We don't have to. I didn't know.
No, we do have to take a break. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Steelo and Casey here on ESPN 1320.